Hey everyone, I'm Brian Lee, coaching and operations manager at Your Enneagram Coach, and I'm joined by my good friend, Adam Breckenridge, who is our director of coaching here at YEC. Adam and I have the privilege of working together to serve our community of certified coaches, and for the next few episodes, we're going to be standing in for our friends, Beth and Jeff McCord, to host Your Enneagram Coach, the podcast. It is our mission to help you see yourselves with astonishing clarity so you can break free from self-condemnation, fear, and shame by knowing and experiencing the unconditional love, forgiveness, and freedom in Christ. And if you love this content, then turn on the automatic downloads or like and subscribe to our YouTube channel. And also, share this with someone who would enjoy or benefit from this content. Well, on this episode of the podcast, we're building off of last week's episode to talk about the process and experience of spiritual renewal and what it looks like for each Enneagram type. Adam, you want to unpack that for us a little bit?
Yeah, sure. I'd love to, Brian. It's good to be doing this with you today. This has been a ton of fun. In our last episode, we talked with pastor and Enneagram author AJ Sherrill about the process of spiritual formation or spiritual renewal, which in Christian tradition is this process of being formed and shaped into the image of Christ. And I would say it's also this process of realizing, experiencing and realizing our true identity as the beloved. That's kind of the goal of spiritual formation and spiritual renewal. And AJ introduced the idea that integral to our spiritual formation are spiritual practices. He talked through upstream and downstream practices for each Enneagram type. Downstream being practices that are life-giving and come more naturally for each type. Upstream being practices that require more effort and are aimed at strengthening the weakness of each type. And what AJ was getting at when he took us into spiritual practices is this fundamental reality that the things we do something to us. Mm-hmm. We are changed by the habits and practices we live into. In his book, You Are What You Love, James K. A. Smith says that one of the main reasons we get stuck in our growth journey is not because we have a problem with what we know. It's that we have a problem with what we love. And so then Smith asked the question, how do we then change our hearts and change what we love? And the answer is through our habits and practices. Again, human beings are shaped from the inside out by the habits and the practices that we live into. So this is how it works. Our habits, our practices get into the core of our being through our limbic system, and they shape and curate our loves. They shape and form our desires, or what the Bible calls your heart. So to give you kind of a funny example, Brian, when I moved to Kansas City back in 2006, I got a job as a barista at Starbucks. And at that point in my life, I wanted to have a little bit of coffee with my cream and sugar. I was that mm-hmm. kind of guy. So I wanted my coffee really sweet. And part of my onboarding process was I had to drink black coffee, every kind of roast that we had. And I had to drink so many cups of black coffee. And the goal of that was they wanted the baristas to be able to explain from a place of experience to the customers what this coffee roast is like. So if I'm talking to you about Sumatra, I'm not just reading to you what's on the bag. I'm talking to you from a place of experience of, you know, this coffee has these tones and these undertones and whatever. So the first, you know, week of doing this, I felt a lot of disgust. It was very difficult, very challenging. I did not like the black coffee, but I tried to live with integrity. So I kept practicing. I had to drink so many cups. And here's what began to happen over time. After doing this for a couple of weeks, is something in me began to change. And I actually began to notice a craving for black coffee. True story. And so it's just interesting that it's a silly example, but through the practice of drinking lots of black coffee, I changed. I actually became the kind of person who loves black coffee. And eventually I became what my wife calls a coffee snob. So I was like, at one point, not even Starbucks was good enough for my palate. It was like, you know what? I need like, you know, the local indie coffee shop down the street who only does pour overs. Mm-hmm. There's no cream and sugar in the whole shop. Like that's what I mean. And so I think it illustrates the point. Again, we are changed from the inside out through the habits and practices we live into, which play a key factor in our spiritual renewal. So in today's episode, we're going to walk the wheel of the nine types and talk through some habits and practices specific to each type that will help you experience the renewal and the growth you long for. And Brian, since you are our resident type one, I'll let you kick us off. So what are some good practices for type ones to help them become their best selves?
Yeah, great. And before we dive in, for each type, we'll be providing three things: a spiritual exercise, a spiritual reflection, and a spiritual growth step. And keep in mind that these are not prescriptive. They may not apply to every person of every type. They're just suggestions. So as you listen through, take what works for you and apply that. Whatever habits, little steps that you can take, right, to continue to grow in that direction, take what works and throw out what doesn't. So yes, please don't hear this as a prescription for you or a you must or ought to or should do these things. These are just suggestions that we have, and we'll walk through those exercise, reflection, and growth step for every type. So starting with me, type ones, the spiritual exercise is just to get outside, take a walk in nature, soak up God's perfectly imperfect handiwork. And that can sound blasphemous to some people, but it's this idea that type ones want things to be perfect all the time. And when you get outside, you recognize when you look at God's creation and just the organic handiwork that is so imperfect. Trees are not perfectly straight. Colors are not perfectly and uniformly distributed, right? There's something beautiful in the way that that works. So take rest in the truth that your creator does not make mistakes. As you walk, meditate on his grace and his compassion for you, despite any of your imperfections or shortcomings. I'm reminded of the scripture that talks about the fact that everything is taken care of. The sparrows, the flowers of the field are clothed, right? The animals are fed. And it's that same kind of grace and compassion that's available to you. Pray that you'll use your longing for perfection and your ability to see what needs to be improved for God's glory to make the world a better place, right? A good reflection point is just grab a journal and write a letter to your inner critic. A lot of times when we're coaching type ones, we like to suggest that you give your inner critic a name because it separates it, right? The inner critic is not the voice of the Holy Spirit. And they have no longer have any authority in your heart and in your mind. He's there to berate you, accuse you, judge you, and tell your critic that from now on, you will only believe the gentle and freeing wisdom that comes from the Spirit. Reflect on the truth that you are loved by Christ for exactly who you are and how you are made, and set yourself free from the burden that you carry to live up to the impossible standards of your inner critic. Remember that Jesus came to make your burden light, that his yoke is easy, right? And finally, the spiritual growth step for type ones is to practice stillness. Practice self-kindness and soul care. Give yourself permission to do something fun. Lean into that path that connects you to the seven, right? Be a little more spontaneous, lighthearted about things. Take a break from constantly improving and striving and doing. Take rest in the knowledge that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. You can memorize scripture or songs that declare God's promises and approval of you. You can recite them or sing them when your inner critic comes at you throughout the day. And you can replace those accusations and judgments with the irrefutable truth of the gospel. Even though this is a challenge, and it will be for every type, it can liberate your soul, right? So Adam, why don't you take type two?
Yeah, I'd love to. Type two's key to your spiritual growth and renewal is the practice of vulnerability. Twos can become fixated on other people's needs, neglecting their own, which over time can make a type two less human and keeps them from experiencing what they really long for, to be loved for who they are, not what they do. So to practice vulnerability is to find a safe and trusted person and humbly and honestly confide your needs in them. For once, give yourself a break from the constant obligation to take care of other people before yourself. Use this exercise to let go of your need to be appreciated for what you do for others, because Christ loves you unconditionally. Another key practice is the practice of boundaries. Master the art of saying yes and no to the right things. And I know the pushback here for all of us, well, maybe not all of us, but the pushback for a lot of us is it's hard to say no. Mm-hmm. In reality, no one has a problem saying no, because every time you say yes to something, you are saying no to something else. Every yes has an inerrant no built into it. And Jesus was the master at this. He knew what to say yes to. He also knew how to say no. So a spiritual reflection step for you is just to grab a journal and begin to assess, what are the boundaries I need to draw? Where are the places where I need to grow in saying no? Take some time to kind of hone in on what's happening in your own heart, what your own needs are. Begin to pay attention to that and reflect on the truth that you are loved by God no matter how much you serve others or how much others appreciate you today. A spiritual growth step for you is to practice relaxation and solitude. Again, kind of piggybacking on something I just said, maybe you're listening to this and you have no idea what your needs are. That's okay. Create some space to be alone with yourself and with God and spend some time listening to your body. Notice your emotions. Notice what's going on in your body. Notice the narratives that are running through your mind. Write down your physical, mental, and spiritual needs. Brainstorm a list of ways that you can better care for yourself and allow others to care for you. This is going to be really challenging for you, but again, this brings a ton of freedom to your soul. Mm-hmm. Brian, you want to tell us about type three?
Love to. So a great spiritual exercise for type threes, it's going to be hard, is just to slow down. Draw some boundaries around your work life. Take time to prioritize your own needs, your relationships with others, and walk with God over your goals. Do something completely unproductive just for the sake of rest or enjoyment or fun. Even in your personal time, it can feel like work because there's always something to do, right? So what would it look like to enjoy something or do it for fun? A spiritual reflection is to reflect on, instead of writing goals or to-do lists, list the ways that you find yourself valuable outside of things that you actually accomplish. What are compliments you've received over time from your loved ones, from friends, maybe even from complete strangers who don't know who you are and have validated something other than what you do, right? So get in touch with your true feelings. Ask yourself if you're projecting a false image, if you're avoiding negative feelings or neglecting important relationships just for the sake of doing things or being successful. Reflect on the truth that you are loved by God, not for anything that you do, but for who you really are. And a spiritual growth step is to invite a friend, a family member, a coworker, somebody out to coffee, out to something, and go out of your way to acknowledge and appreciate their efforts and achievements. Turn the focus outside of yourself on someone else. Do some active listening. Listen to them closely without giving advice or trying to leverage their relationship for your own advantage. And although this may feel like a challenging interruption that will keep you from achieving your own goals, it can bring rest and freedom to your soul. Mm-hmm. Adam, type four?
Yeah, I'd love to. So key to your spiritual renewal and growth is the practice of gratitude. Fours can become fixated on the feeling that something is missing, that they themselves are incomplete. If you're a type four, you can develop this sense of having what you don't want and wanting what you don't have, which is a hard place to find peace and contentment. And therefore, a good counter practice to resist the pull of discontentment is this practice of gratitude. So a spiritual reflection for you is to grab a journal and make a list of everything you're thankful for. This could be a daily exercise even of writing down 24 things in the past 24 hours that you are grateful for. Reflect on all the ways that God has blessed your life and all the gifts that you've been given. And ask God to remind you that nothing is missing and that He's given you everything you need to be content. I want to mention another key practice, which is more of an upstream practice for fours, and that is to find a creative outlet or hobby that allows you to express your deep emotions and fulfill your longing for beauty. So if you're a type four, find projects, find activities, find creative outlets to turn your creative dreams into action. The world needs that part of you, needs that gift. And a spiritual growth step for you is to conduct a daily emotional check-in with yourself. Notice your emotions, help them find their voice in prayer to God, then remind yourself that no emotion is final and should have the power to control you. Regularly ask yourself if you're dwelling on the past, comparing yourself, or being envious and focusing only on yourself, and then take steps to turn your attention to others and build those healthy habits and those productive projects and meaningful connections. This is going to be a challenge, but it's going to form you into the person that you long to be. Mm-hmm. Brian, you're up for type five.
All right, type fives. Spiritual exercise will be to take time alone to recharge your inner resources and get in touch with your internal world, but also the physical world. Since you are naturally contemplative, solitude may come naturally to you, maybe easy to you. However, you often get stuck in your mind. So make a connection to your body. Consider working out, doing yoga, taking a walk outside, or some other physical activity that connects your mind to your body and your spirit. A good spiritual reflection is to reflect and write down the ways that God has been faithful to you, the way that he has sustained you and provided for you throughout your life, because fives tend to have this belief that no one's going to meet your needs. So think about the ways that God has proven himself faithful in those ways. Reflect on the truth that Christ is your living water that will never run dry, because you tend to think that there is this limit to your resources and that you're constantly hoarding your energy, your conversations, your interactions so that you don't run out at the end of the day, and be reminded that Christ is there to fill you. A spiritual growth step is to make an intentional invitation with someone. Make time for some kind of relational participation and connection. Allow yourself to be present to the moment instead of retreating into your mind, instead of thinking of the next thing to say or talk about, but just to be present to the conversation, to be generous and vulnerable. Try to engage in that conversation, even if the person disagrees with one of your ideas. Though this might be a challenge for you, it will be rich and meaningful for your soul. Adam, our resident six, you're up.
We'll be back after a quick break. Moms, I am so excited to share with you a huge and wonderful opportunity that we have created for you this summer. It's our Enneagram for Moms cohorts. Yes, a group of moms of your same Enneagram type coming together for a safe place to connect, share, and hear and be validated. Wouldn't that be amazing to be with other moms of your same Enneagram type who see the world through the same lens and truly understand you? It's going to be amazing. But here's the thing. There are only 25 spots per cohort. We have one in the daytime and one in the evening of your type to choose from. You're going to want to sign up the day it opens. We open registration May 6th to May 13th. Now, these groups will kick off the week of June 10th, and they will go until the week of July 29th. That's 8 weeks together for 90 minutes, sharing, laughing, crying, being together in that safe, intimate place to connect with moms, to develop deep, meaningful friendships. And there's so many other things that are going to come with the cohort. I hope that you will join us and learn more when you sign up on May 6th to May 13th at yourenneagramcoach.com/cohorts. I can't wait to see you there.
Yes. Thanks, man. So sixes, let me talk to you for a second. As a fellow six, a great spiritual exercise for you that will play a big role in your spiritual renewal is to start the day by identifying the things that are currently making you feel anxious or insecure. This will most likely require starting your day with some silence and solitude. I think it was Blaise Pascal who once said, to paraphrase, all of humanity's problems, you can trace back to the fact that he can't sit in a room alone with himself. So the reason for that being, it's in the stillness that and the quiet that our anxieties begin to emerge and find their voice. And it's in that space where all of our managing strategies begin to relax and the stuff that we're trying to medicate or dodge catches up with us. It's also in that space that God can meet you and you can begin to practice 1 Peter 5:7, this practice of casting all your anxieties onto God and letting him care for you. Ask God to give you peace and to help you remember that he is your true guide and strong foundation. A great spiritual reflection for Enneagram 6s is the practice of journaling. Grab a journal and write down every catastrophic thought. Write down your worst case scenario thoughts and all the negative outcomes that your inner committee is currently shouting at you. And find a verse of scripture that addresses each of these fears, these struggles, these worries. Write those things down. Sometimes I even like to strike through each of those fears, to actually put a line through each item and then reflect on the truth that Christ is my security. Even in these fears, I have a refuge. He promises to be loyal, faithful, and constant no matter what lies ahead. And a spiritual growth step for sixes is to find ways to practice confidence and positivity. Make a list of past successes or positive outcomes. Come to conclusions and decisions quickly and resolve to stick to them. Live in the present moment, soaking up life's blessings and your most treasured relationships, and releasing the burden to plan for every contingency, which is so exhausting. Trust that God is faithful to you. Sixes, these steps are going to be very challenging to you, but they will bring restoration to your soul. Brian, what about type sevens?
All right, sevens, here we go. Your spiritual exercise, this may sound familiar, is to take a walk in nature. Allow yourself to find wonder and joy in the simple beauty that's around you. As you walk, just remind yourself that Christ's love for you is more fulfilling than any new or fun experience, and that you won't miss out on the abundance he has to offer you. Ask God to show you how you can use your zeal for life and adventure to embrace suffering and to bless others. A good reflection is to think about everything that you're thankful for. Reflect on all the ways that God has blessed your life, the gifts that you've been given, everything that brings you joy in the present moment, and be reminded that you have enough. Ask God to remind you that only he will bring true contentment and satisfaction, that there isn't always a need for more. And finally, a spiritual growth step is to invite someone out, to confide in your feelings and things that are challenging you. Allow yourself to fully acknowledge negative or hard emotions or problems, even though it makes you feel uncomfortable, because on the other side of those feelings is whole living, right? Mm-hmm. Sevens tend to live with this half range of feelings, emotions, and life because they'd rather deal with the positive side of things. Mm-hmm. And unless you can break through to those more difficult things, you never really live as a fully whole person. So be present, cultivate meaningful connections, ask people to tell you the whole truth about your relationship and ways that you can improve. Though this may be a challenge to you, it can be transformative for your soul. All right, Adam, let's talk about eights.
Yeah, and before we do that, I have to just say, as I was listening to you reflect on sevens, it brings to my mind, you know, the whole plot of the film Inside Out, where all of the emotions are, you know, are, they have their own personalities and sort of play their own characters inside Riley's mind. And in the whole film, Joy is trying to like hijack the controls, mm-hmm. and doesn't want any of the other emotions to exist. She only wants Riley to be happy and think positive. And the whole point of that story is at the end of the journey, Joy, played by Amy Poehler, realizes that she actually cannot exist unless she exists alongside the other feelings. Mm-hmm. So she makes friends with sadness. She becomes friends with fear. And, you know, it's the key to that wholehearted living that you mentioned, Brian. So, and we know that's actually what sevens want. They want to live life to the fullest. And that's the pathway. That's the ironic pathway, is to make friends with those other more uncomfortable, more vulnerable emotions.
That's it.
All right, type eights. A key practice for eights. Each morning, think of one simple way that you can relinquish control that day. Mm. A great, you know, spiritual reflection is to grab a journal and just write down all the things that you try to control and the ways that you try to protect yourself. And here's a key question that is a little vulnerable for eights. But what am I afraid would happen if I do not have control? What's the fear of relinquishing control? What am I afraid would happen? And ask God to meet you in that place. Picture yourself handing a specific challenge, desire, relationship, fear that you have over to God and giving him full authority in your life. Ask God to give you the self-control to think and feel before you act and to help you practice moderation and to trust others to lead when necessary. Another great spiritual exercise and reflection for eights is to just sit with the question, what is it that makes me angry? And how can I use my healthy anger or passion to contend for the greater good? Eights, your anger is a gift. What are the ways that you can steward your strength and your zeal, your healthy anger, to serve the underdog, to serve those who need a defender, those who need someone to fight for them? God has given you a zeal for this kind of justice, and it's okay to lean into it. In fact, we need you to. A spiritual growth step for eights is to practice vulnerability with someone you trust. And that's the key, with someone you trust. Find a trusted friend that you can confide in and open your heart to them. Admit your weaknesses and reveal your struggles, trusting that Christ will protect and defend you from betrayal. Express your appreciation for them and allow them to speak honestly into your life. Though being this vulnerable may be a challenge for you and scary, it will be liberating and restorative for your soul. Brian, you want to bring us home with type nines?
Sure do. So for type nines, a great spiritual exercise is each morning, do a quick self-assessment of your internal world. So hone in on your emotions, your thoughts and desires, in order to keep yourself from merging with other people's goals and desires for the day. If you feel frustrated, which is usually a code word for feeling angry, express it in a direct way. That is also constructive. Remind yourself that your feelings and your preferences are just as important as everyone else's. A reflection is to make a list of all the people to whom you matter and all the reasons that you should actually show up that day. Begin to explore your inner world by writing down your dreams, your goals, your plans, and then make an actual and realistic plan for actually doing something about them. Mm. Reflect on the truth that your life and presence are important and that you are a cherished and valuable child of God. Ask him to show you how you can use your unique gifts to bless others and the world. And you know, Adam, I'm thinking of It's a Wonderful Life right now.
Love that film.
And he just, it's this whole world of what would happen if I wasn't in it anymore.
Yeah.
And it's almost like nine sleepwalk their way through life as if they don't matter, as if they don't have an impact on others. Mm. And it's a really great exercise to imagine what could the world be like if I showed up more actively, if I was more present to the moments that I'm in, right? Mm. And a spiritual growth step is to invite someone out and use the time to practice actively engaging with the world around you. So you choose the place you're going to meet. You offer your opinions and your thoughts. You choose to assert yourself, to express your real needs and emotions and preferences. Ask God to give you the courage to expand this step, to show up for every area of your life without that fear of conflict. Because without conflict, you don't have iron sharpening iron. Without conflict, you don't have productive conversations, right? So though this may be a challenge for you, again, it can be liberating and restorative to your soul. So as we walk through all nine of these types, right, we talk about spiritual exercises, reflections, and growth steps. I'm sure you're hearing patterns and ways to do it. And part of those patterns in that growth step, you're hearing that we're inviting and challenging every single person and every single type to invite someone out, to build meaningful connections and relationships, because we can't do any of this growth by ourselves. Yeah. We're not meant to be isolated. We're not meant to be by ourselves. We're meant to do this in community with each other. Right, Adam?
That's right. That's right. And I think to, you know, where we started in this conversation is we all long to close the gap between where we are and who we long to be. Like the best version, the best version of ourselves, the, you know, the most relationally healthy and alive person that we were made to be in Christ. And you know, when we consider how change happens, what you do plays a huge role in that. I mean, we said this earlier, the things you do do something to you. And there's that cliche of information without application will never lead to transformation. So I remember when I first discovered my Enneagram type and read all about it, and I experienced some immediate shifts, some things began to change. But then I remember the first time I ever worked with an Enneagram coach, and part of my struggle was, you know, bringing to my coach, I know all this stuff. Like, I know all this information. I know all about myself. I know, like, I've even made some connections to my past, and like, I can name some stuff. I know the facts. And what my coach helped me see is, Adam, it's now time to start doing this information. It's time to begin to practice. And, you know, that's Jesus's big deal. The way he lands the plane on the Sermon on the Mount is, hey, all this stuff I've told you, now you know it. Now it's time to put it into practice. And the one who practices these things is like the guy that builds his house on the rock. And the one who doesn't practice these things is the guy that doesn't have a foundation. And so, you know, these spiritual practices, like Brian said earlier, they're not prescriptions. They're not the exact things that you have. You know, these are suggestions. But what is a fact is that your habits and practices are shaping you. So for each Enneagram type, we have to begin to consider, what does it look like for me to actually do this information?
Yeah. Brian? And I think as thoughts? I hear you talk about being the best version of yourself, I'm reminded that there are a lot of people out there who may push back or feel some resistance to that phrase. I think it's been co-opted a lot. And when we talk about and teach the Enneagram at Your Enneagram Coach, you know, it's remembering that, like you're saying, it's information, it's tools for application, but the gospel is what provides that transformation. That's so right. When we talk about being the best version of yourself, we're not talking about in the interest of being your best self. It's in the interest of others, right? It's That's in right. the interest of relationship. It's in the interest of community. It's in the interest of how do I fit in with all these other eight types that are in the world so that it's not all about me, but so that we all grow together and point each other toward the gospel and toward Christ.
Yeah, well said.
Any other thoughts?
No, bring us home.
All right. Well, Adam mentioned working with a coach, and we would love to remind you of that as well. So if you're interested in learning about the Enneagram, you can always visit our website at yourenneagramcoach.com. If you want to take it that step further, get your own Enneagram coach. You can check out our directory of incredible certified coaches at myenneagramcoach.com. For those of you who want to bless others by becoming a certified Enneagram coach, you can check out our certification program at yourenneagramcoach.com. Our team is here to guide you every step of the way, and you can join us in blessing others with accelerated transformation. And Adam, why don't you close us out?
Yes. Thank you all so much for joining us today. Brian and I can't wait to see you again in the next episode. Make sure you subscribe so you don't miss it. And remember, just to reiterate the way Brian just landed the plane, the Enneagram reveals your need for Jesus, not your need to work harder. It is the gospel that transforms us. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll see you in the next episode.